longer a slave to fear. Turn to somebody and say, I'm no longer a slave to fear. The reason I want to talk about that is because there's a lot of people, especially during the month of October, that are going to be dealing with a different level of spiritual warfare than you've dealt with before. Now, I've been in ministry for many, many years now, and I can tell you, and I'm sure Pastor Chris Moody here, and I still call you Pastor Chris, he's Bishop Chris Moody. I'm sure he and all the other ministers in the room can attest that there is an amping up of the level of spiritual warfare that happens in the fall of the year. As much as I love the weather, I hate the spiritual warfare that happens this time of the year. The Church of Satan is fasting, Halloween is coming, and there are spooks behind every corner, and there's something that shifts in the atmosphere. But the good news is, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And the best news is this: we are no longer a slave to fear. We don't have to conquer fear, because fear has already been conquered for us. We don't have to conquer fear. If you're fighting your spiritual warfare to conquer fear, then hopefully tonight you're going to switch gears and let someone else fight it for you, because there are some battles you are not meant to fight. There are some battles you are not assigned to fight. Those battles have already been fought. Those victories have already been won. You just need to learn how to move in the authority that has already been given to you. You don't have to yell at the wall or point at the floor or scream at a shadow. All you have to do is say the name that is above every name, and every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So I'm going to do something tonight that I typically don't do. I'm going to read a lot of scriptures, and I'm going to ask you to stand for the reading of God's word, because, you know, we're no strangers to fear in this land. We've come from crisis to ISIS, and everywhere we look, there is a reason to be afraid. If you're a news addict, I promise you that you struggle with paranoia, because if you want to try to find out what's going on, there's almost no good news on the news anymore. They're telling you a hurricane's coming, or someone has broken in on someone's house, and some tragedies happen around the world, or the parties are fighting with each other in Washington again, or the left wing's lost their mind again. And you're hearing all of these things, and it will cause trepidation inside of you. But the good news for God's people is this: we are called to be courageous. And you know what that means? You know how many times God told Joshua that when he assigned him to be the leader of Israel? He said, be courageous. And then he says it again, be courageous. And then again, be courageous. You see, when someone discourages you, that means they took away your courage. They discouraged you. They took away your courage. When someone encourages you, that means that they gave you courage. Encourage means I'm giving you courage. Discourage means I'm taking your courage away from you so that you can fumble around in fear. But the Bible calls us to encourage one another. We are not weak. We are not left out. We are strong in the mighty of our, in the mighty power of Almighty God. We are strong in His might. So we just have to learn how to operate in the authority that has already been given to us. And tonight we're going to talk about that. I'm going to call upon an old story of the Bible to give us a new revelation. And I'm sure everyone here has at least heard of, if you haven't read, the story of David and Goliath. But I'm praying that the Lord is going to give you some new revelation from this old text tonight. Let's start reading together. And I'm going to read several verses so you can read from the screens or you can read from your Bible. Now the Philistines gathered their armies together to battle and were gathered at Socoh, which belongs to Judah. And they encamped between Socoh and Azekah, Ephes-Damin. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together, and they encamped in the valley of Elah and drew up in a battle array against the Philistines. The Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side with a valley between them. And a champion went out from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of his coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. So here's what we know about Goliath so far. First of all, we know that he's 9 feet tall, 9.5 feet tall from the measurements we were given. We also know that his coat weighs 157 pounds. Can you imagine that? A 9 foot tall man, 9.5 foot tall, and his coat weighs 157 pounds. Goliath's mother, by the way, is Orpah, and I don't have time to get into that, but in my series, The Backside of the Story, I give you that whole story of Orpah, because when Orpah and Ruth left, Orpah went back to the city of Gath because King Og, her father, would not allow her back into the land because she had married these Israelites. And so she went to the city of Gath and became a prostitute. Her firstborn son's name was Goliath, Goliath of Gath. So that's the same Orpah in the Ruth and Orpah story that you're reading in the book of Ruth. And so I don't have time to give you all of that, but it's actually written in Hebrew, and you can read, if you read Hebrew, you can actually see her name in there in the Hebrew Bible. Let's go into verse 6. And he had bronze armor on his legs and a bronze javelin between his shoulders. Now the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels, that's 15 pounds, and a shield bearer went before him. So his, just the spearhead alone, can you imagine the thrust of a 15-pound spearhead when he threw that? It would just knock someone for several feet if the spear hit them. So this is the champion of the Philistines that is challenging the Israelites. Then he stood and cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, "Why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine and you the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down." Do you know why Goliath wanted to fight one person? Because the Israelites had defeated them so many times. He knew that if he could single out and intimidate one person, he would not have to face down the army. Because here's what you don't know. Anytime you suffer in silence, you will lose. Anytime you suffer alone, Satan's plan is to get you afraid and isolated. But when you call for the body of Christ to surround you in prayer, he knows he is defeated, because Goliath can only intimidate one person at a time. He cannot intimidate the whole army. If the Israelites would have ran out like David did, they could have slain the Philistine army. And he knows this. He knows how many times they have already been beaten. So their ploy is this: if I can fight one man, we don't have to fight the army. And that's Satan's plan to fill your life with fear. If he can get you to suffer and not talk to anybody, suffer and not get counseling, suffer and not go to the prayer line, suffer and not confide in a friend, suffer and not do anything about it, alone he can isolate you and take you out and keep you bound in fear. But the minute you get in your prayer circle, and the minute you come to the altar, and the minute the men and women of God lay their hands upon you, then the whole army marches out against him, and he is a defeated foe. So Goliath does not want to fight. He's a bully, and bullies often show up as a coward with a bunch of friends anyway. He is a bully, and he wants to intimidate them one at a time. Look in verse 9. "If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servant and serve us." And the Philistine said, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." Then Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine. They were dismayed and greatly afraid, because in their day, you could not back down from a challenger. So he realized the only way that he could win this fight is to fight one man, because they could not take down the army. So he realizes the only hope he has is to get one challenger and beat him. And the Philistine drew near and presented himself 40 days, morning and evening. Somebody do the math. Tell me how many times they heard the speech. Somebody do the math. 2 times a day, 40 days is how many? 80 times he did this. 80 times he challenged them. 80 times he stood out on the mountain and yelled at them. That's approximately how many times you've heard the crazy tapes in your head that shut you down. That's approximately how many times you've heard the devil say, you're never going to amount to anything. That's about how many times that it takes for you to stop moving as a valiant person in the might and power of God. Look who's watching you. Look what they think about you. No one believes in you. Everyone's talking about you. All he has to do is say it about 80 times and you never do it again. Say it about 80 times and you shut down. There are preachers who've quit preaching because they were shut down by intimidation. There are singers who've quit singing because they were shut down by intimidation. There are people who won't walk on the stage. They're hiding somewhere because they've been shut down by intimidation. There are people who won't testify. There are people who won't write. There are people who won't show up and work because 80 times they heard that they were no account and the enemy has shut them down. And that is Goliath's ploy. He will never tell you something one time. He will tell you morning and evening and morning and evening until you become absolutely paralyzed with fear. And there's people in this room right now in this service tonight that you are paralyzed by certain fears, but no more.
Well, I hope you are enjoying this teaching, and the rest of it will play in just a moment, but I just wanted to take a moment, make you aware of a very special offer that we're offering right now on two of our most popular items. This one is called Keys to the Kingdom. This is a 3-DVD set that is a teaching on the parables of Jesus. Now, many people don't understand that the parables of Jesus, as you read them in the Bible, just sound like a story. Every one of them is a prophetic truth. Who knew that the parable of the Good Samaritan was about the coming of the Lord and the rapture of the church? Every single parable unfolds just like that. That's what this teaching is about. And this is our top 10 most requested sermons. We put this in a little USB drive, so you can stick it in your computer, or a lot of cars nowadays that don't have CD players have USB drives. So stick this right in your car and you can listen to our top 10 sermons as you drive down the road. So if you want this offer, go to briancutshall.com. This is offer Hope in the Word, or HW001. So HW001, and you can get this these two items at a special discount. Now let's continue in the Word of God.
I am coming after the spirit of fear tonight. We are going to expose him and take him out. He is not going to go home with you and sleep in your bed another night. Tonight he must go, because we're giving him an eviction notice from your life. You no longer have to be a slave to the spirit of fear. And that's what he's saying. You serve me. I'll intimidate you and you serve me. And that's what is happening in a lot of people's life. He's intimidated you so long, you've switched faiths. Your faith now believes that he's stronger. You've switched faiths. You now believe he's stronger than God. You now believe that he's going to win. You have changed faiths and you didn't even know it. But tonight, we're going to deal with all of that. Let's get through the text so I can preach. And the Philistine drew near. We saw that part. Verse 48. Let's move on down into the text. So it was when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistines. Isn't that something? I mean, I don't have time to get into that, but that's amazing. He didn't just stand there. He took out running toward the Philistine whenever he showed up. Then David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone, and he slung it, and he struck the Philistine in the forehead so that the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore, David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword and drew it out of his sheath and killed him. Isn't that a great picture right there? He takes Goliath's sword out of his own sheath. Look at that. And he and killed him. So notice this, it says that he killed him twice, but you have to understand, he knocks him out the first time and he kills him with a sword. And I don't want to mess up a good point in my sermon later on, but all you need is 5 stones, which is grace, and a sword, and you can take out your enemy every single time. The reason a lot of people cannot defeat the enemy is they're screaming at the devil instead of quoting scriptures at him, because you can scream at him and point at him and set everything in your house on fire to get rid of the devil, but he's not going anywhere. But you can whisper the name of Jesus. You can whisper the name of Jesus. You can whisper a prayer and the devil will have to leave your house. You are no longer a slave to fear. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. Therefore, David ran. Let's go to the next one. Now the men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistine as far as the entrance of the valley to the gates of Elton. I don't think that's the right word either. Now, Elton might be happy that his name appeared in church, but let's move on. And the wounded of the Philistines fell along the road to Shamram, even as far as Gath and Ekron. That's the real word right there, as far as Ekron. Then the children of Israel returned from chasing the Philistines, and they plundered their tents. And David, here is where we end. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem. But look what he did with Goliath's armor. But he put the armor in his tent. He's keeping that armor. He can't wear it, but that's his trophy. So he's keeping the armor. But he took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem. David has killed Goliath. He has taken the head of Goliath back to Israel, back to Jerusalem. And there he will hang the head of Goliath on the gates of Jerusalem, which was their custom of their time. So I want to start in verse 1, and I'm going to walk you through. I won't go through every verse that we just read. I wanted you to get the context behind you of the story. But I want to walk through a few of these verses. Now the Philistines gathered their armies together to battle and were gathered at Socal, which belongs to Judah. Wait a minute. They are gathered at Socal, and who does it belong to? Somebody help me here. It belongs to Judah. Wait a minute. They're in Judah's land. They are in the land that belongs to Judah, and they encamp between Socal and Azekah and Ephes-Damin, and they finally fixed that on that one there. Now, where are they? You have to understand where the enemy's camp is. We sing about going into the enemy's camp and taking back what he stole from us, but I want you to see where the enemy is camping. First of all, he's camping at Soko, which means hedged in. It means I've been hedged in. Now they're camping at Azekah, which means fenced in, almost the same word, hedged in and fenced in, and they're camping at Ephes-Damin, which means a bloody ankle or crippled. So here the enemy has decided to intimidate them in the land of Judah, which is the land of praise, in a place called hedged in, fenced in, and bloody ankles. And here they are being approached My notes and Jonathan's are a little different, so I'm going to try to keep up with what he helped us out with tonight. So Socal is hedged in, Azekah fenced in, and Ephes-Damin. Now notice this, look who's opposing them. It's a Philistine. Now you can look at all kinds of words that help you to understand what the Philistines mean. Rolling, migratory, nomadic. But the word really means instability, or the Hebrew word pilet literally means that they flee swiftly. So they come in, hit you, and run. It's always a hit and run. In other words, this is a very unstable group. Everywhere they go, they never stay there very long. So here is what's coming to your house. Instability is trying to invade the land of Judah. Now somebody tell me what Judah means. Judah means what? praise. So here is instability coming to the land of praise. And here's what you need to understand about that, is that they've gathered here in this place of instability. These Philistines have gathered here, but the enemy is in a valley that does not belong to them. They're in a valley that belongs to praise. Why is it called by these names? Why is it called hedged in? Why is it called fenced in? Why is it called bloody ankle? It's not called that because the enemy's there. It's been called that for years. Why? You're in the valley of the great kings where wars have been fought for years. They have already won those wars. So in one war, they were hedged in, but they won the war, and they named the place hedged in, but we won. And the next place, they were fenced in. They were outnumbered. They were dying on the battlefield, but Jehovah Jireh came in at the right time and wiped out the enemy's army. And they said, in God's name, we will call this place fenced in. God was a fence around us when they thought they were the fence around us. And in another place, our ankles are bloody. We are crippled. Our army is limping. It looks like we are going to die here. But look, here comes God one more time. And God rose back the heavens, and he did fly upon the wings of a cherub, and yea, darkness was under his pavilion, and fire and hail and vapor of smoke out of Psalm 18, God came down one more time and they won the battle. But now an enemy shows up. Now you could have shown up any place, but how dare you come to a battlefield that I've already conquered? How dare you try to intimidate me with something that is already under the blood? How dare you come after me with something that has been put underground race years ago? You see, there are some of you, you almost died giving birth in ministry. How dare an enemy come to your land of praise? You know why they went to that valley? They went to that valley to dance on the grave of an enemy. This valley is where God brought them out. This valley is where God gave them victory. But now the enemy instability has come to the valley of praise. Don't you give up your praise, because an enemy of instability has tried to move in and bring your past up against you. Don't you give up your praise. How dare you? Some of you have almost died giving birth to ministry. Some of you have paid a high price to have the marriage you have. Some of you have paid a high price to keep loving your children when you didn't know if they were even going to love you back. There are some of you that you've given sacrifice after sacrifice to build the church and the kingdom of God. Some of you have battled your health for so long that it's taken you this long. There are times you thought you were going to die. There were times you thought the story was over. There are times you thought you were never coming out. There are times that you thought you were not going to win, but because of the grace of God, you are here tonight to give a testimony. He brought me through when I didn't think I was going to make it. If it had not been for the Lord who was on my side. Has anyone had to say that before? I wouldn't have made it, but the Lord was on my side. I wouldn't have come out, but the Lord was on my side. I would have lost my mind, but the Lord was on my side. I would have gone to prison, but the Lord was on my side. I could have died out there, but the Lord was on my side. I thought I was falling apart, but the Lord was on my side. I thought it was over, but the Lord was on my side. How dare you try to take that testimony from me? How dare you come to the land of praise where I dance on the grave of my enemy? How dare you come to the place of my victory? I won that battle, and you cannot bring that against me again. Can you give God praise in his house tonight? See, our trophies in the kingdom are not metal. Our trophies are trophies of sweat and endurance and pressing on in tenacity. That's our trophies in the kingdom of God. They go back to the land of cripple and they dance there. They go back to the land of hedged in and they dance there. They go back to the land of fenced in. These are where we won our battles. You know, I got to tell you, there's a lot of praise that goes in around here. And I sit on the front row, so I don't do it for anybody to watch. But if you've ever seen me praise, you know I'm an out-of-the-box worshiper. And I always have been. I mean, that's not anything new for me. I mean, I can run and I can shout and dance and flip and whatever. God, I don't care how he does me as long as he don't leave me. I don't care. I don't have to have. I've come too far in this fight right now. If I never get another save seat, if I never get another parking space with my name on it, if I never get another handshake and a check for preaching, I just want to tell you, I'm so glad to be in the house. I'm just so glad to be in God's kingdom. I don't praise the way I praise because it's popular. I don't praise the way I praise because it's trendy. If you want to know the secret behind my praise, it's because I almost died birthing the oil that I give to him. The oil in my alabaster box cost me just about everything. I praise him because I live to tell the story. I praise him because I could have died in the valley, but grace and mercy brought me through. I praise him because he brought me out when I could not get myself out. I praise God not because I have to. I praise God because I get to. I praise God because if you only knew what the Lord has done for me, if you only knew how many times he picked me up, if you only knew how many times he dusted me off, how many times he never gave up on me, if you only knew. And can I tell you something? If that person gets a little rowdy sitting by you and kind of messes up your church space a little bit, before you judge them, I want you to stop and think about something. You have no idea how many wars they've been through to get that shout. You have no idea how many valleys they've come through to dance like that. You have no idea how many deserts they've walked through dying for a drink of water. And now God has put a song in their heart and a dance in their step. Leave them alone. Let them worship God. And you don't know, they may have to run for the next 3 months on that shout. They may be storing up something that's going to get them through the next battle. They may be storing up something that's going to take them on through to the end. You don't know what it cost them to praise God that way. Hallelujah. It's one thing to praise God in a dance. It's another thing to praise God in a shout. Some of you, that'll hit you when you're driving home tonight. You can dance to music, but you can only shout to victory. You can dance if they give you your favorite beat and genre, but you can only shout when you've got something to shout about. You can only shout when you thought you were going to die, but here you are. When you thought you weren't going to make it, but here you are. You can shout. You can tell there's a difference in those who are broken and spilled out and those who are just giving God a little praise. It's almost like somebody is just pouring out the oil, saying, "Thank you, Jesus. I'm so glad I'm here." But that's not the broken and spilled out crowd at all. They break that alabaster box. They'll cry at his feet. They'll wipe his feet with their hair. They'll cry when everybody in the room is pointing at them and staring at them. They'll still break the alabaster box. Even the disciples say, "Do you know what we could do with that money?" But she doesn't care. She is just so glad to be at the feet of the one who can save her. She is so glad her praise isn't cute, but her praise is a shout of victory. You look out. If you're sitting by Mary Magdalene, they may step on your toes. You look out. If you're sitting by a Simon Zelotes, who the Lord pulled out of a gang and made a disciple, you look out. If you're standing by the Apostle Peter, who denied Christ but then stood up on the day of Pentecost and preached down the Holy Ghost and fire on the day of Pentecost, you look out. If you're standing by somebody that's ever failed God, but God never failed them, look out. If you're standing by somebody who backslid, but God said, I'm married to the backslider. You can run, but you cannot hide. I'll find you under every corner. I'll find you under every bed. I'll find you in every hotel room until I get you back into your destiny. You may give up on God, but God will never give up on you. I'm telling you, some people, they don't have a choice but to shout. Because shout means he brought me out. Anybody that God has brought you out, can you just take 5 seconds here and give him a praise? If you know what I'm talking about tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Is there anybody besides me that thought you were going to die in the battle, but here you are? Anybody thought you weren't going to make it, but here you are? Anybody thought you were going to be broke the rest of your life, but here you are? Anybody thought you'd never sing again, but here you are? Anybody thought you'd never preach again, but here you are? Sharabahasa. Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
The Bible says that some send and some go. Well, thank you for sending me to the world. This program is made available to you and brought to you by the partners of Brian Cutshaw Ministry. I want to thank all of our monthly partners who help us take the gospel and our books and products, DVDs, CDs, YouTube channels, everything that we do around the world. If you would like to partner with us in ministry, please go to briancutshaw.com and sign up today. We would love to partner with you in ministry.